Great. I'll introduce our next panel here while Claire and Nancy join us up on stage. One of the things that we have worked very hard with all of you on during the course here is how can we make, as we hear from Peter, expand into more markets with Magic Quadrant's critical capabilities and the broader coverage, the stack that Peter presented with all the different branded research. How can we make it more efficient for both analysts and AR professionals, you know, to work through the MQ process? So with that, we're actually going to kick off, and I'm going to ask Anne-Marie to pop back up and grab this mic from me and for the Q&A, because we're going to have Q&A during the panel as well. And, you know, to get things rolling, I'm going to ask Claire to give us a backdrop on why we're talking about this topic here today.
Perfect. So first, maybe I should introduce myself a little bit. So I'm Claire Desto, and you may have heard my name before, because actually I was seated in that room on the other side before a few years ago and a few months ago. So I joined Gartner back in November after 20 years at Oracle, and I was leading the AR team for 10 years there. So I've been working on MQs either as a spokesperson or as an AR lead for a long time, and I was actually trying to remember how many MQs I worked on, and I could not exactly find the number, but it's probably over 500 over the years. So it's been a while. And when I joined Gartner, I took on the research content process team, which is a team having to do with anything from planning up to the publishing of our research. So think about supply chain. That's what my team does.
And many of you know Nancy. Yeah. I'll have Nancy give you a deeper introduction.
Hi, everybody. Nancy Erskine. I head up the Ombudsman's Office at Gartner, and you might wonder, what's a nice girl like me doing talking about a research process? And I will tell you, my team, you may be aware that we deal with questions and concerns regarding independence and objectivity in Gartner research, and sometimes those questions are about Magic Quadrants. And if any of you have been involved in one of those questions and concerns that my team has helped you with, sometimes that takes a really long time. And it can really delay the publication process when we're dealing with what we have called historically an escalation regarding a Magic Quadrant. And so my team earlier this year was we tasked ourselves with doing a real deep dive into the escalations regarding Magic Quadrants that took a really long time. We tried to figure out what was it about them that took so long, and with a very focused task on reducing the amount of time that they took and improving the quality of the result. And so we thought, oh, we can make some changes to our own processes, but when we really looked at what the root causes of those escalations were, many of the seeds for those were sown way early in the process of creating the Magic Quadrant. So we added to our list of recommendations a lot of things to happen way up front in the process and where they can really have the most impact. So we made a bunch of recommendations to Peter about not just changing our processes, but changing the research processes. At the same time, Claire was embarking on her journey to make some improvements, and we realized that there was a lot of synergy that we could enjoy. And luckily, a lot of the recommendations we were making, she was as well. So we combined forces, and so you'll see our work and Claire's work really melded together in this. This is pretty exciting stuff. You'll see that almost all of these changes that we're talking about today were based on recommendations from this audience. So we think it's all pretty good for you, so we're hoping that you feel the same as we go through some of them.
Mm-hmm. So Claire, Nancy, there were workshops that you guys held both in Santa Clara and in Egham, outside of London, and our offices there, with, as Nancy points out, on the West Coast, many members here in the room, as well as others that attended the London event with maybe many of your counterparts in your companies over in Europe, as well as some of your air community colleagues. And what did you guys learn from those workshops?
Yes, that's actually a very good point, because part of, you know, the optimization of the MQ process, of course, there are various actors and various players that we wanted to really interview as part of the discovery process to help us first identify the pain point where they were, and of course help us prioritize and really strategize. So the first part of the project was really to go on a little discovery phase, where we talked to, of course, our own analysts, our own team manager, and our project managers, but we, of course, spend a lot of time talking to you guys. So that has taken different forms. We interviewed some of you via a web survey, some others via one-on-one interviews, and some of them via workshops. So there were three key takeaways that actually have come really as very important point that we needed to look at. The first one, and I think we have slide on those at some point.
Julie, can you grab the clicker?
Oh, sorry.
Advance that?
Yeah, thank you. The first one was the fact that the amount of time and the amount of resources that you guys are spending, on working on MQs. That was really the first recurrent theme that we heard. We are spending a lot of time, a lot of resources, and of course when we do that, we can't do other activities. So that was the first key takeaway. The second has to do with the fact that the experience that you were seeing working with us was not very consistent, you know, from one analyst to the next, from one MQ to the next, or from one MQ to those of you having done critical capabilities, the experience was different. So a lot of inconsistency. And the third key takeaway was the fact that you didn't necessarily have enough visibility in the schedule or visibility in what the analysts were asking. You sometimes guessed, you thought you understood, but you were not really sure. And, of course, you reminded us that you don't like surprises, and the good news is that we don't like surprises either. So those were really the key three takeaways that we heard from you guys. So
that's great. And, you know, tackling those big consumers of time, if you will, on both the sides of the AR professionals and the analysts is really critical for really, you know, targeting what you guys were going to, you know, go after. So why is this important?
At this time, yeah. So you saw this graphic that Peter showed, the tripod, as we call it, you know. We heard from our joint and user client that we needed to expand our coverage in market and in vendors. And also the fact that there were some new document types that were really going to be needed, such as interactive critical capabilities or other documents. So probably you had the same reaction as we did, which is, oh, God, you know, if we want to add all of this, how are we going to do it? Because we just don't have time anymore. We don't have any more resources. So we realized that it was a really critical point for us to step back and look at how we are publishing and producing all of this content. So that's what created really the origin of the optimized delivery project. And we really scoped it out to give time back to our analysts and, of course, give time back to you guys, obviously. Because without, you know, enough time, we can just scale, and we have to scale. So,
you know, your comments remind me of a conversation that I had with one lead of a top five, you know, technology firm, and he was saying, gee, I'd love to spend more time with the analysts in more of the inbound activities, mm-hmm. you know, helping to drive strategy, road mapping, messaging, go-to-market, and even sales enablement, right, you know, contributing to pipeline. And what I'd like to do is spend less time on the Magic Quadrant process. So there's huge ROI potential by tackling this problem. So as you guys dug into this, what did you target as some of the key priorities? Because you could start in many different places. You know, so
that's
what were the top priorities?
Yeah, that's
here?
Right. So there were, you know, some steps in the process that are more time-consuming than others. And we could do, you know, a quiz. I'm sure we'd find the response. But anything having to do with data collection, you know, gathering feedback from references, having you filling out the questionnaires was one of the big, big time-consuming tasks. So we wanted to make sure we, of course, concentrate on optimizing the resource and the time spent there. Then, of course, there were, you know, in some cases, some escalation. So maybe Nancy, I should let you address that part.
Right. I mean, we, you know, with the additional volumes of documents that we're going to be creating, my team wasn't going to be expanding in exactly the same way. So we had to really figure out how we could optimize what we do and really figure out, you know, how could we not only reduce the amount of time that these interactions take, but actually have a higher quality result. And as we learned along the way, there was so much that could be done, and you'll hear about it a little bit today, but as time goes on, you'll see there's a lot of work that's been done at the beginning of the process. Someone was asking here about, you know, these criteria change so much from year to year. How could that be? Well, the analysts, when that happens, they will be required to tell you how that can be. And so you will really know what they're looking for in that market when you get your welcome materials. So there, you know, really there, it's in the spirit of being more transparent and open with you, so you can you know, do a better job in helping us.
Nancy, as part of that, did you guys, with your particular lean on the process, look at anything to do with helping the audience eliminate or reduce or eliminate audits or escalations in the process? Did you look at that at all?
Oh, yeah, we did. That was, you know, we'd love to put ourselves out of business, but I don't think that will happen, although I think that with these changes, you know, so much of what we deal with at the very end of the process in an escalation, if the work is done the right way with frankly more guidelines than even we've provided to date internally, I think we can really reduce those. And if things do end up coming to us, well, they will be handled much more quickly when the process is followed, you know, both by the analysts and by this room of people.
So it seems that in the conversations that we've all had together, that analyst relations staffing remains fairly flat overall. Same thing for your team, yet, as Peter pointed out, of course I got the math wrong. More analysts than 980, right? So the analysts continue to expand, the number of markets continue, you know, to expand. So Claire, where did you guys decide on where to focus first, especially with an eye on how to help the audience as AR professionals? Where did you focus first there?
Yeah, so based on, you know, your input, we realized that there were three key priorities for us that we needed to start with. The first one, in line with what we were just saying, it was to really streamline your participation. You know, when you work with us on gathering references, on gathering your vendor surveys, doing demos, we realized that we could get some economy of scale if we were clever on how we were doing those surveys. We also realized that sometimes we are asking multiple times for the same thing, which, you know, is not, of course, optimized. So that was really the first big priority for us, to really look at how we can be clever on how we ask for information to make sure that we reuse internally and that we really minimize, once again, the amount of resources and the time that you guys are spending on this work. The second had to do, once again, with ensuring that the experience is consistent. So we will be mentioning a few examples, but we are working on a lot of templates, tools, just email example, the welcome packet, which is this set of information that you will receive at the beginning of the process, to make sure that it's consistent from one evaluation to the next, so that, once again, you know exactly what to expect. There are no surprises. And, you know, really work with us along the way. And the third aspect had to do with communication, because we realized, based on the feedback, once again, that sometimes either we were not very clear, or you didn't really understand what we were looking for, you didn't know enough. So we really want to have a two-way communication. We are going to open up more details specifically related to the end-to-end process for you guys, give you more heads up on the deadlines, and we expect that you are also very proactive with us and don't wait at the last minute to say, hey, I need an extension. So we won't accept that anymore, because we will give you early heads up, and we expect that you tell us really up front, hey, during that week, I have that big vendor event that, you know, is really our big company event. I can't do anything, so just know that up front. So We are really trying to open up more, but we, of course, expect that you do the same. So that's what we really want to implement with this two-way communication.
By the way, in a second, we'll open up the floor for some questions from you guys, to Claire and Nancy about the process. But it seems like, Claire, then, consistency, a common survey model is really important. And I would say that probably helps those providers in the audience that are in multiple Magic Quadrants, right? It makes sense.
That's right.
Communications is really important. And I'm really curious, to know what you guys found were the big buckets of time that the audience spends, cultivating references, spending time with colleagues, business partners in the organization to gather data, right? And how do you see the optimized process and a future set of tools, to help in those two particular areas?
Yeah, so a very good point, because as we mentioned it, the big chunk of time this definitely consumes around what we call in generic the data collection, which is everything having to do with customer references and also the vendor survey, the vendor demo, and associated information that you need to send to us. So on the customer references, which I think has always been a pain point, we are trying to be a little bit same thing, more explicit about what we are looking for, more consistent on the number of references that we are asking, and also provide you with more input through the process. I know some of you have said sometimes we are in the dark. We don't know how many customers have responded to the survey. We just know when it's too late. And, of course, it's, factual review. It's way too late. So we are going to give you weekly status update on who has responded to the surveys versus not responded. So you will get the two lists to try to really give you visibility on what's going on and not be last minute and fight real and surprises. We are also working very hard to make sure that if we commit to interview some customers on the phone, we actually perform those interviews, because that has been a problem as well. So we can't promise something and not do it. So, of course, we are looking into that as well.
That's great. Any questions from the audience for Claire and Nancy so far in the process? Yes, we got a question over here. Yeah. Great.
Hi. Question for you on the two-way communication. Are you going to do that with the publishing of the MQ as well?
Yes. So for the publishing, we are going to send courtesy copies, as we say. So when the MQ publishes, we will notify you with the document in any way.
My question is more in line with, can you give us an update, like it will publish next week or on the
15th? Yeah, so that's a good point. So and actually, we can probably team up, Nancy, on that response. So what we have realized, as we were doing our discovery and interviews, that sometimes we were not very explicit about delays, So we will share with you first the end-to-end schedule, and then if there are delays, we will notify you explicitly that there is a delay and do our best to say the MQ is expected to publish within, a certain time frame. But once again, we will really want to be transparent and not let you, leave you in the dark. So, yes.
Thank you.
Nance, what are your recommendations then on process? Should the audience think about a setback schedule from those dates
absolutely.
That we're publishing?
One thing that you may not have seen yet, which is pretty neat, there's a spreadsheet on Gartner.com that has added a lot more information on the MQ schedule that actually says, for this MQ, when is the process going to start? That is, when do we expect that the welcome packet will be sent to this team? And when do we expect it to publish? Who is the lead analyst? Who is the project manager, which Claire will talk about in a minute? And so you've got a lot of information there. And so we would recommend create your own setback schedule and your own project, if you will, to help fulfill the Magic Quadrant, starting with that welcome packet. And always be looking for great people that are references, because we're almost always going to ask you for those. So be cultivating those all the time. And so those would be some of the things we would suggest. Really, if you're going to be serious about it, create your own project plan and follow along with us. You'll be getting a lot more transparency into the process now, so you won't be surprised along the way either.
So if I may, we will also notify you, you know, as we share with you the end-to-end schedule up front, if there is a change because, you know, an analyst unfortunately got out of the office or we had some changes on our side, we will also notify you proactively. So we are really trying.
Right.
So same thing, do the same with us. You know, if there are things that you know are going to be a big bottleneck of time or other constraint, make sure you let us know as early as you can so that we can try to adjust and not be surprised again with last minute requests.
And there was another request made by this group that if we do change analyst coverage midway, we proactively let you know. And if we change any criteria along the way, we notify you. So that will all be done as soon after the decision is made as possible. So, again, no surprises.
So the welcome kits, a more defined process, instead of saying it's going to publish in this quarter, it's now monthly that we're going public with. And by the way, you can get access to that spreadsheet off of the AIR community page, by the way, and we'll show you the link on that if you need to get to it. But I know that there has been some significant investments made within Gartner Research with the project managers.
That's
to help
right,
this
the
process.
People so, inside of things.
So Claire, share us with us.
Just if I may, so the publication schedule that we were just talking about today show you the publication quarter, and we are going to move that to months, but it's quarter for now. But so talking about the people aspect, because you probably wonder how are we going to send all those proactive notifications, and of course we don't want the analysts to have to do this. We need them to really focus on the domain expertise. So we have staffed and trained some project managers who are really in charge of overseeing and managing the project end to end. So think about, you know, an MQ being a symphony. Maybe it's not a good image for some of you, but think about an MQ being a symphony. There are multiple actors that needs to play at the right time, at the right moment. And the project manager are in task of bringing in the right player at the right time to really orchestrate all those different tasks that need to take place to be able to publish an MQ. So the project manager, you will see us talk about this role more and more. It's your key contact about anything related to an MQ and a critical capability matrix. And you see their name in that publication schedule that Jeff was just mentioning. So really use them. They have been trained to really address a lot of questions. If they don't know, they will do their own cooking behind the scene to be able to come back to you. But they are really your key contact. And I know some of you who have worked with project managers in the past in the context of an MQ have expressed that when that happened, the process is very smooth. So we hope everyone feels the same as we go through that.
So research is put in place, what, about 50?
We have around 50, yeah. So, yeah. And then we have multiple levels. We are tiering the responsibilities based on the task. So we are really trying to also optimize their role as well.
Okay, so that's been the initial type of investments made.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit more, Claire, about, you know, some of the tools, best practices that are part of the next wave of this program. What can you share with us there?
Yes, so there are a lot of things in addition to the people aspect that we were just discussing that we are actually working on at the moment, and you are going to see them rolling out over the next couple of weeks, which has to do primarily with all those templates, examples, sample, reusable questionnaire that we are creating. So the welcome packet is probably the best example because we realized that without the welcome packet, and by the way, I should maybe explain what the welcome packet is, but it's that you know, information that you receive at the beginning describing the market, describing the inclusion criteria, the evaluation criteria. We are going to add the end-to-end schedule to that and other important information. So we realized that if a project doesn't kick off with a very solid welcome packet, then there could be confusion all the way up to the end. So we really invested the time to really scope out how best to really create a rock-solid welcome packet that is one of the templates that is going to roll out over the next few weeks. So that's one. And then all those emails that we were discussing to notify you of changes, all of those are templatized as well. And we are creating questionnaire templates so that the analyst can reuse those questionnaires, and you should see some level of consistency as well so that, for instance, instead of doing two questionnaires for an MQ and a critical capability, we just do one that encapsulates the need of both evaluations, trying to be smart again on how we do those. So that's going to roll out over the next couple of weeks. We are also centralizing all the interaction through the project managers. So instead of having to go to vendor briefing for something, to potentially the inquiry team for something else, then now you work through the project manager to schedule all of those things. So
Claire, we've talked about a number of enhancements,
yeah.
And Nance, love to get your thoughts on, as you and Claire have worked together, what should the audience see in terms of the impact on their operations from some of these enhancements?
Well, I think they'll see just a reduced number of requests for information because, you know, if there's a critical capabilities and an MQ that are both being done around the same time, you'll get one set of requests for information, not two. And we're really trying to figure out how we can optimize that even more by looking. I know some of you have said, hey, I get the same question from different analysts in a different format almost every week. Could you do something about that for me? And so what you're seeing now is you'll see we're consolidating this as much as we can in a manual way. But our end goal is to actually provide more of a self-service model for you to be able to input and maintain certain information without us having to ask for it. So we think that will be a tremendous time saver. We expect to see that sometime next year. We're working toward that. So I'd say that's probably, you know, the biggest. And also, I think, references. You know, we heard you so loud and clear. You spend so much time and, you know, you have so much skin in providing references. And then when they're not called and you don't know what the status is, it's difficult for you and you're chasing things down. And that will really go away with this new process where you'll be told every week what the status is. And if you have to get after some of your references because they haven't responded to us, you can do that. I think that's a big time saver too, because vendors have reported that it's just a hassle, which we want to remove.
Yeah, this
issue. I think we have a question back there.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, is this on? Yeah. Thanks, you guys. Hearing everything that you're talking about today makes me feel like you have heard. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
One of the things that I wanted to ask was about services. And I'm not necessarily looking for an answer from you right now, but I think a lot of us in the room manage services that are changing pretty frequently. And what that means when we look at the MQ process is that you very often have a report that's out there that's out of date very soon after it publishes, and you've put all this work into the process. So any guidance or tips for us on how, as AR pros for services that are being frequently updated, we should think about either this process or other research streams and processes that are happening at Gartner?
So,
is the question a concern about the frequency of updating some of the MQs within the services segment?
I'm more concerned with old research sitting out there for years at a time.
Mm-hmm. I'll just make one comment on that. We're really hoping that all this action will actually reduce the amount of time that it takes so that, you know, when data collection will happen and, you know, not that long thereafter, a report will be published. And so, you know, we can't always say that today. Sometimes it's 6 or more months after we've asked you your survey information that we publish the document. And that is a huge goal that we have to reduce that. So we're really mindful that markets really do change a lot. And so that's we're squarely looking at reducing that amount of time because we want to have the freshest data we can to base the analysis on.
Good. Any questions right now? Yes.
Thanks.
You gotta hear Pete too.
We can hear.
We need more mics.
Yeah, we do. There's one. Okay.
Yeah, the whole
there you go.
Okay.
Hi there, Terry Green with Sapient Nitro. So I have a couple of pain points with the Magic Quadrant, and I'd like your thoughts on that. And they may seem minute or tactical, but they're very painful to us. And the first one, and this is in the services industry. And the first one is that the analysts only give us 60 minutes for an executive briefing, which is very painful because you can't get through what you want to get through in 60 minutes. So I've often said, can you please give us 90 minutes? because by the time you get to your case studies, you're rambling really quickly. You only get to one. There's lots of questions throughout the 60 minutes. So if you could think about extending that, that would be awesome.
Okay. And we are, by the way, people taking notes because we are not taking notes.
But I would just make one quick comment on that, too, is don't just wait until the Magic Quadrant time to be briefing the analysts. So take every opportunity you can before then.
Believe me, we do.
We've noted that.
Yeah, we do that quite a bit. And then the second one is, and I don't know if this is a policy, and I'd like to understand if it is, but my understanding now is that during that Magic Quadrant process, which can be up to 6 months sometimes, that those analysts will not meet with your executives. They won't come out to and talk with clients of yours. They seem to be very, it's very hard for us to get to them with any types of briefings or inquiries during that process, which is also very painful because that means for 6 months you're having a really hard time getting to them.
And is that based on the analyst feedback to you on their workloads and what's on their plates at that?
No, it's based on during this Magic Quadrant process we cannot do that.
Gotcha.
There's been some inconsistency in that. historically, it's been the decision of the team manager whether to allow their analysts to participate in mostly SaaS during the Magic Quadrant process. And we realized that we need to be consistent. So we're really looking at updating that policy, and you'll probably hear more about it early next year. We really want to make sure that there's no compromise to the time that the analysts have to do the Magic Quadrant. And, you know, by the time, we are going to impose some limits there. You may be experiencing more than you will when this is announced, but you'll see that announced early next year.
And just a quick example, and it's, I understand the SaaS example, I very much understand that, but when we've got a CEO that happens to be in the same city as the analyst and he's only there once a year and you can't get a 30-minute or 60-minute face-to-face because it's within the Magic Quadrant timeline, that's very, very frustrating. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good example.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great point.
Good. Yeah, we're working on that one, and we'll factor those questions in. So that's really important. I think the key there is consistency and ensuring that we're enforcing that consistently across all the different markets. That's really key to us. So we've talked about a lot of the changes in process, the expansion of the project managers, to help this audience get the answers they need during the process. We've talked about, a bit of some of the learnings and the best practices about always be gathering references. Whoops. Start early in the process. Claire, I'm going to ask you for your quote on this because I know that you... Why are you laughing?
Yeah. No, because I know which quote you're asking me, and those who have been in my team will remember that.
So. Yes, that's right. So how do you describe this condition that many AR teams live
within?
Yeah,
so, as we were actually, and Nancy, you mentioned it briefly, our recommendation, of course, and I know many of you are already doing it, but, you know, we should always be thinking that there could be an MQ starting at any point of time. Not that we want that to happen, but I'm using this image to show that it's important to feed our analysts on a regular basis with, of course, any information that you have on your products, but also on the customer pattern that you experience. So always feed, and that will also eliminate the burden and the peak of work, you know, when an MQ starts, because if you build the foundation, the foundation is there, and you just need to add a little quick update when, you know, the MQ actually starts. So I had this expression of saying, you know, we are always doing MQ mode because that's the way we should be feeding, you know, analysts with information. So.
Okay, and then we talked about the investigative work, and based on the learnings that we learned from all of you about what's the best way to share these insights, provide over time a repository of your information so the analyst can access that in a consistent, accurate, updated way. So we've talked about a lot of things. When will some of these things start? What's the timeline that you guys are looking
point.
At?
Yeah, good point. So as, of course, you expected, it's a long journey for us. We have had a lot of work to do. So what we did over the summer, we started with the first, really the first phase, which was to staff on all those project managers to make sure that they were trained. We updated the publication schedule, which is now this tool that you have access to on Gartner.com to really understand what's coming and do your own internal planning. And we also started moving ahead in the process some critical steps. So some of you may have hopefully seen a little bit of improvement in the quality of the draft that you received, because now before you actually see a draft for factual review, this draft has gone through a first level of editing to really trap, you know, the most consistent mistake that sometimes we should not send you. So we have implemented this pre-edit phase to make sure that we improve the quality of the content that you receive, which of course save you time and save time on our side as well. So that was what we did this summer. We are now working on all those templates that we were discussing, which is going to take us to toward the end of or mid-November. And then after that, by the end of this year, we are going to apply anything we've done to MQs on the other branded content, so critical capabilities and the others. And then next year is really the third phase of the project where we are looking at more innovative aspects, such as what Nancy was mentioning in terms of dynamic access to feeding us information and for us to read this information as well. So think about a project in three phases. We are at the end of the first phase, and we have still two phases to go. So it's an incremental rollout, and we appreciate your patience because there is a lot of things happening behind the scene, and things, you know, are going to come. They are just coming incrementally. So.
Good. I understand we have a question.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Hey there. It's Jesse McQuay from BlackBerry. I was just wondering, and I'm sorry you may have mentioned this, we're looking to see the last Magic Quadrant that we had, we were able to do a demo, but we weren't able to do an actual executive briefing, so it's a bit of a follow-up to that last question. Have those been removed going forward, or is it sort of dependent on the Magic Quadrant?
So our recommendation, you know, to the analyst is to you know, give you the opportunity to do a briefing and or a demo. There are some analysts who think that they know enough and don't require those, but our recommendation is to do them. So if you feel that your analyst is not necessarily up to date with the recent news on your side, push for it, but just be aware that sometimes they may say no. But it's really rare.
But I would add, though, that they do need to offer you at the end of the process, along the, during factual review, a half-hour call to discuss the piece. So that piece is not an optional activity.
Thank you, Claire, for mentioning the always being in MQ mode. That's pretty much what we try to do with our teams
thank
as
you.
Well. One of the challenges I've seen there is just the workload issue with analysts not being able to accept briefings as often as we'd like to be able to offer it to them. So just, I know it's not really part of the MQ process, but definitely part of wanting to be in MQ mode throughout the year. So just, you know, is there anything that's being planned there?
A channel, you know, that is currently more and more used, and we of course need to figure out the best way to do it, but is using, you know, multimedia, recording things, little snippets on new features. The analysts love short videos that really give them a quick snap, preview of something. So that may be something to also investigate. I think we will learn from each other, right, because there are a lot of new ways of sharing information. So it's a little bit try and learn from each other. But certainly the small videos works very well internally. So that may be something we could use, you know.
Good. I know that we've got some summary points that we'd love to share with the audience. So Nancy, love to turn to you and have you summarize some of the things we've talked about here today and what you'd like to leave the audience with.
Sure, I'll start and then I'll hand it off to Claire. But you know, we encourage early communication. So if you have questions, you have concerns, you just don't understand maybe one of these new updates, or you have a question about why the criteria have changed so dramatically from one year to the next, please always know that you can always call the project manager, but you can also reach out to my team any time along the way for informal questions about, gee, this doesn't feel right, or am I perceiving this the right way? Absolutely, please feel free to pick up the phone early and often, because we will really often find that those phone calls help us to avoid, you know, an uglier situation down the road. So we encourage that strongly.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Claire, and also I'd love for you to comment also on what the audience should expect next in terms of communications.
Yeah, so as we were saying, you know, we are in this incremental rollout of the project, so we've tried to communicate a lot with you guys. We did some webinar, we did those discovery workshops, we did activity at symposium. There are going to be the same kind of presentation in Barcelona and also in Gold Coast. And we are going to, on a regular basis, use the webinar channel to really keep you posted. So, like I said, it's an incremental journey. As you probably can see, we have, you know, done a lot of work. We still have a lot of work to do. So be patient with us. We are definitely working on everything we said. And just when you are not sure or you're always have questions, like Nancy mentioned, don't hesitate to ask. And please don't stop the communication. Keep feeding us with ideas, suggestions. We love those. And we really want to work in a collaborative fashion with you guys, because we are here to serve our joint customers. So.
Good. Yeah. Claire, thank you so much for all your
thank
work.
You.
I know that the work that you've done, Nancy, the work that you've done, has been against an issue that you folks have thought about for a good number of years and have given us lots of great feedback on within the AIR community. It's one of the action items on the list, if you will. So just from my perspective, after we created this version, this generation of the AIR community about 6 years ago, I would say that this is the first time that I have seen research reach out, interview against specific issues in process, and especially in an area where you guys spent a tremendous amount of time as AR professionals. So I really commend the work that you guys have done. So thanks so much. Great job.
No, thank you. Good.
All right.